Each year, we celebrate Ascension Day 40 days after Easter. Scripture tells us, as we've just heard, that after his resurrection, Jesus openly appeared to his disciples. In these appearances, he instructed his followers and prepared them for his departure. He promised, after he left, they would receive the power of God through the descent of the Holy Spirit. In our first lesson today, from the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus offers his disciples final instructions, telling them to remain in Jerusalem until they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be his witnesses, witnesses to the entire world. And while they watch, Jesus is carried into heaven, leaving them gazing into the sky. This is a dramatic story. The risen Jesus is bodily taken up into heaven, lifted high above the earth, while his followers watch. It's an account that can indeed be challenging for us who live in the 21st century. We do not believe, as first century people did, that above the earth is a great dome that contains the sky, and above that there is heaven where God dwells. We've seen pictures of the earth taken from the surface of the moon or from outer space, and we understand the world is a little different from that image. But while the ascension does not fit our modern cosmology and may leave us wondering what to make of this event, it is nonetheless theologically rich for us. Whatever happened to Jesus on that 40th day after his resurrection, wherever he went, his ascension has profound implications for us, his followers. Though we may struggle to make sense of exactly what happened that day, its importance to us is clear. In light of that, I'd like to offer three particular ways that I think the ascension of Jesus is important for us who follow him. The first is that the ascension completes the incarnation. In the incarnation, God comes among us in the person of Jesus. God creates humanity to be in relationship with God, planting deep within us a desire, a longing for God. God gave humanity not only this longing, but also the gift of free will, because God does not and will not coerce us into relationship, but instead invites us and waits for us. Through the prophets of old, God called the people to return to God. And yet, repeatedly, the people ignored the prophets, even killing them. In the fullness of time, God comes among us, putting on human flesh in the person of Jesus. This is a radical act. The creator of all things, of everything that is, the one who is all-powerful, the ineffable God, enters within the limits and the bounds of the created order. This radical action speaks to God's deep desire for us, how God will stop at nothing to draw us into communion with God, going so far as to even take on our human flesh. In doing this, God comes among us to show us how we are called to live, how we are to love one another, how we are to be in deep relationship with God. Not only that, but how we are also to be in relationship with one another, with ourselves, and in fact with the whole of creation. God enters into human existence in order to bring divinity right to where humanity dwells, and then also to bring us, to lift us into the divine life of the Trinity. In the ascension, God completes that initiative begun in the incarnation, having come into human existence to be one with us, bringing divinity right where we dwell. God lifts humanity up to God in the ascension. When Jesus ascends, he does not leave behind his human body. Rather, he lifts human flesh, still bearing the wounds of his passion. He lifts that flesh to the throne of God. Jesus lifts us to the divine life of God. In Jesus, humanity sits with God in heaven. Jesus takes our humanity heavenward, going where Jesus promises we will one day follow, that place where Jesus will bring us when we die. Jesus enters into human existence in order to lift humanity to the very divine life of God. The implications of this reality are profound for us. It affirms that what God declared at the creation of all things, namely that everything that God makes is good. The ascension shows God's deep love for us. If God has such love for us, that God would come among us, that God would suffer death on the cross, and also share his resurrection with us, then we too should treat one another with that same love, with that same compassion, with that mercy of God. If God loves us and values us so much, then we are called to do the same. This is our second Ascension Day apart. We have been through more than a year of this pandemic, and among other things, the pandemic has revealed in often stark terms the ways that we fall short of living that God would call us to live. The gross inequities and injustices of our world have been laid bare in this time. Economic privilege is glaring. Inequity in so many things, but including in health care, has never been so obvious. The great injustice of who is most likely to become ill and die is starkly visible. And even now, as vaccinations increase in encouraging ways in this country, the virus continues to devastate much of the rest of the world, especially in India and Latin America. And very few people in other parts of the world have been vaccinated. God's love for humanity revealed in the incarnation and in the ascension calls us to acknowledge these inequities and to commit ourselves to living a different way of life. It is an imperative that we affirm the dignity of every human being and that we work for the well-being and the justice of all people. We are called to care for those burdened by the inequities of our society. Secondly, Jesus promises to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Though he ascends into heaven, we are not left orphans. We are not abandoned by him. After Jesus departs, the Holy Spirit is bestowed upon humanity. The Spirit is that abiding presence of Jesus even with us, within us, dwelling close as God can be. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts and even power so that we can be the presence of Jesus in the world, that we become the body of Christ. Through the Spirit poured out on us, we are called to be Christ's body in the world. Our vocation is to make Jesus known, to live as Jesus lives, to do the things that Jesus did in his earthly life and ministry. Jesus is no longer physically here on earth with us, but we become his body. The 17th century Spanish mystic Teresa of Avila expressed this when she wrote, and I quote, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Unquote. These words of Teresa of Avila lead directly to my final reflection, and that is that at some point we must stop gazing heavenward and we must look outward. In our lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, after Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples remain there, looking up after him. Suddenly, two men in white robes appear, and they ask why they are standing there looking up into heaven. Now that Jesus is gone, they need to lower their gaze because they have work to do. They can't stand in one place forever looking up after where Jesus has gone. They must leave that place and get to work, doing the work that Jesus has left them to do. As long as they stand in one place looking up, they can't see around them. They are unaware of the opportunities that God provides for their witness in word and in deed. Looking heavenward, they don't see people in need, people who need to hear the good news that they are sent to witness to and to proclaim. Like those first disciples, we must not stand in one place looking up. For too long, the church has taught acceptance of the way things are in this world because there's the promise of the reward to come in heaven after we die. While we certainly long for that time when we come to dwell with God in fullness for eternity, until that time, we have work to do. We have things we are called to do now by God, right here in this world, in this place, in this time. We might gaze heavenward for inspiration to get a glimpse of the world we are called to build here on earth, but then we must lower our gaze, returning it earthly. We need to see with open eyes what lies before us, and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we must go forth to do the work Jesus calls us to do. This world is full of need. Perhaps that is clearer than ever before. For many, hope is in short supply. There are people who are frightened, who are lonely. In the past year, we ourselves have become lonely and frightened at times. But Jesus assures us he has not left us, and he will never leave us comfortless. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to witness to the power of God's love, that we proclaim the good news of Jesus. The Spirit comforts us when we despair, and through the Spirit we can discern where we are being sent, the work we are being called to do. Where Jesus would have us offer mercy, love, and compassion. The Spirit gives us the privilege of welcoming the forgotten, the stranger, and the marginalized. And the Spirit gives us the strength and the gifts we need to answer the call Jesus extends to us. In the Ascension, Jesus brings all things to completion. Humanity is lifted to the very throne of God, entering the divine life of God, the Holy Trinity. In response, we are called to make heaven a reality here on earth for everyone. We are called to live by the heavenly love of God, even now here on earth. Though Jesus ascends on high, he remains with us through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And so let us not despair, but like those first disciples, rejoice with great joy, always worshiping and blessing God, and blessing God's holy name for the great love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into heaven, so we may also in heart and mind there ascend, and with him continually dwell, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.